Good morning, Texas. This is Mike Paulson from North Dakota. Chilly North Dakota. Extremely chilly North Dakota. Seems a pretty chilly Dallas and Fort Worth as well. This is Sunday morning. Ephesians chapter 5 is where we have made it in our program. So because we have a lot to cover, let's just skip all the introduction about who I am, what it is that we stand for on this program, and what we're trying to accomplish. Let's just get out there and let's show you this morning, and probably for the next program or two, God's design for marriage. Now, why would that be all that important? Because God's design for marriage is also the design that he has for the church. Now, remember, when I'm talking about the church, I'm talking about the body of Christ, not the local church assembly. Our local church assembly is designed, well, it's supposed to be designed based on what Christ and the church, how that works together. But we know that the local church is not sanctified. It is not cleansed. It is not holy as such. We have to keep that in mind that as we're talking for the next couple days, we're talking about the body of Christ. We have a counterfeit church going on today. We have a local church design that has been supposedly based on the teachings of the body of Christ. And then as they throw out the body of Christ, then they come up with this new local church. And then this new local church, which used to be in charge of pretty much the whole country, the whole world, back when the world was as small as it was, has still carried over into our denominations. They may have been reformed away from that church. They may have changed away from it, and they may dislike it. They may even hate it. But they still have shades of that holy local church involved in their local church in our country, in any and every denomination. And yes, even including the Baptist churches, have that flavor of holiness still within that local church. And what they've done is they've thrown out the universal body of Christ, the universal church, the spiritual church. Now, why would they do that? Well, they threw out the Word of God that teaches and explains that. So this morning, and the next couple of programs, we're going to look at this design of marriage. And we're going to see here the design of the body of Christ. And you're going to recognize, I hope, that the local churches aren't even close. There's a purpose for the local church, but it isn't to replace the body of Christ. And it doesn't act like the body of Christ. And it is not as clean and united with Christ as the body of Christ is. So where do we go for this design, this basic design? We go to Ephesians chapter 5. Now we're going to jump down to verse 32. We'll get right into it. Where he says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Verse 33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. What do those two verses have in common? Christ and the church? Husband loving his wife, and his wife revering her husband. Well, let's go up to verse 22. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. And let's read through these following verses that really seem to be so out of touch today. When we have marriages that are going way down in numbers, and we have remarriages going up in numbers, think of said in the news this morning, 40% of marriages are remarriages. Is that wrong? Is that bad? Well, if you go to certain parts of this country, I'm telling you, the churches are really against divorce. And the churches that are against divorce are really against remarriage. And if they do get remarried, they preach and teach that those people should get divorced away from that remarriage, but yet they don't believe in divorce. So it's really a mess. It's really confusing. It's almost silly if it wasn't so damaging. So verse 22, here we go. This is the design. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. Now remember, we did say in Peter, it talks about being subjection to. They're forced in the tribulation. It's a choice in the dispensation of grace. What's the difference? The word is love. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as this church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot, or wrinkle, or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Now those are some verses that a lot of people today just say, oh, I don't believe that anymore. A lot of Christians will say, I just don't believe that anymore. Well, we go back and we look at some phrases here. We see that we're talking about husband and wife marriage. But then we see that we're also talking about Christ and the church. Again, the church is the body of Christ, not the local assembly. Yeah, how can I say that? Well, you go back and you do a Bible study. You see all the references that deal with church. There's two divisions. You've got church, and you've got churches, plural. Okay, when we're talking about the church, we're talking about the body of Christ. When we're talking about churches, we're talking about the local assemblies in different communities. Is there a difference? Yes, there's a difference, because in verse 30, it says, we are members of his body. That's the universal church. That's the body of Christ. That is not the local church. If he would have said in verse 32, this is the great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the churches, then we could apply this stuff to the local assembly, but we can't. So what we have today is we have marriages that are falling apart. We have churches that have tried to design themselves as the body of Christ, and they're falling apart. We have a mess going on. And what we're going to do here in the next couple of programs is we're going to look at these verses. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and we're going to see what Paul has to say about the church and the local churches. Why do you say local churches if you don't think this has to do with the local churches? Because the local churches are still trying to pattern their design after Christ and how he loved the church. We just have to realize that we aren't going to do it perfectly. We aren't going to be holy. We aren't going to be that clean. We're going to have our issues. We're going to have our problems. Well, marriages aren't that holy. They're going to have issues, and they're going to have problems. Yes, but the body of Christ is not going to have issues, is not going to have problems, because Christ has taken care of it. And like it says in verse 26, he sanctified and he cleansed it with the washing of water by the word. His church, it is a glorious church. It does not have spot. It does not have wrinkle or any such thing. It is holy and without blemish. That's the body of Christ, because we are of his body. So let's go back and let's just read these verses a little bit, slow down just a little bit, ask a few questions as we go here. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. Now, what does it mean, as unto the Lord? Well, as we read the next verses, it kept going back and forth from the husband and the wife to Christ and the church. So what we have to do here is we have to learn what it is that Christ did for the church. What did Christ do for his people? What did Christ do for the Gentiles? Because now we're looking at the time of Gentiles, the dispensation of grace. There is no chastisement. He paid that penalty. The chastisement will come on the works, the things that are done by those people in the body of Christ will be judged, but not the people in the body of Christ. Can a person love somebody and not like what they do? Well, sure. The problem is we have people that don't have that love anymore, or they confuse the word like and love. You cannot like what's going on, but you still love each other. Christ doesn't have to like what's going on, but he still loves his church, and he took care of it. And he's going to deal with those things that his church, that his body of Christ, his church people, his Gentiles, the things that they did, he will judge those things body at the judgment seat of Christ. And he will reward accordingly. Well, is that not how we could do things within the family? You might not like the things that are being done, and you can judge those things that are being done, and you can reward based on those things that were done. Now, this is only a 30-minute program, which is really only 25 minutes. It cuts down even a little bit less when we have some music involved. So, we can't really get into this thing like I did years ago with these hour sermons and, you know, discussions afterwards. But you certainly don't need to go out and buy yourself a Bible study on marriage. You don't need to get these video programs. You don't need to spend all this money, all that money on books. You've got a book. It's a King James Bible. It will not only give you the design of the proper marriage, it will not only give you the design of the proper relationship, will not only give you the design of the relationship of the church, you can design your local church after it. You can design your marriage after it. Not only will it do that, the King James Bible will show you the false church, the counterfeit church, the marriages, the perversion of marriage. It will ask questions. It will deal with issues that pop up in the marriage that is causing marriages to fall apart, causing them to crumble. It will help the husbands and the wives realize, in order for that thing to go comfortably smooth, here's how the design is, and if it doesn't go that way, here's how to deal with it. Christ does not want divorce. The design is not for divorce. But it can happen. Under what circumstances? Well, you got your standard ones. Somebody is unfaithful. Is that enough right there for a marriage to be divorced? Are there other things? Are there less other things? And then we come up with questions that I've asked in the past here. Why is this family structure today falling apart? Why is it changing? Why is there so much divorce? And within these marriages, there is so much abuse these days. Why are local churches and pastors telling Christ what to do? Why is the bride telling the groom what to do? What's going on here? What about bad wives but a good husband? What about good wives and a bad husband? What defines a bad husband, a bad wife? Why are our kids today the way they are? Well, how are they? That would be another program, but you don't need a program to tell you how your kids are. How are they doing? How are they doing in their education? How are they doing in their physical relationships? What are their ages? What's their maturity? What's going on here? What's fun in the flesh for kids today? Why do kids grow up and hate Christian homes? Why do kids grow up and hate God? Why do kids grow up and hate everything? Why do kids even grow up and hate America, even our Constitution? What is going on within our young people today? What about today's new marriages? You've got what we call the perverted marriages, but if they don't want to call them perverted, why do people accept them? Male with male, female with female? How is that coming about? What's going on? What does that have to do with Christ and the church? What about divorce? What about remarriage? What about pastors that are divorced and they get remarried? Can they still be a pastor? Can somebody who's divorced and remarried become a pastor? What about single pastors, pastors that are not married? Can they be a pastor? What is the difference between submit and be in subjection? How does rightly dividing the word of truth fix Christianity? Can rightly dividing the truth of a King James Bible fix a marriage? Those are some pretty good questions. What's going on today? This modern Christianity and actually modern marriages, same type of a thing. The truth of a marriage is being thrown out. This modern church today has a false bride. It has a lying and deceitful groom. It's based on false words, a false gospel, a false design. There is not a true love there. It's a fake love. It's a false love. There's false teachings, false doctrine. The roles are being reversed of the husband and the wife. The children that are produced in these modern churches today, they have no clue to what truth really was and is. They have no concept of the fact that there even is a truth. They have a reprobate mind. They hate authority. They cannot be taught anything. They're spoiled, and they're doing things their own way. That's the result of today's modern Christianity. That's the result of today's modern marriage. It really, truly is a mess. So in all fairness, we need to see what it is that God teaches and what does he want out of marriage. Why? Because this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, goes right back to the marriage. Let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. So being members of the body of Christ is the same as a husband and wife becoming one. You want to commune with God? You talk. You want to commune with husband and wife? You talk. So, I would say that this is a good time to read these verses again. We don't need to stop and talk about these things. We just need to look at what they say, think about it, and make some changes in our lives, if possible. And then we'll get into the divorce and the remarriage stuff at the next program. So again, Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife. Doesn't say boss, doesn't say dictator, doesn't say DI instructor, you know, what do they call him in military? The drill instructor, the DI. He's not the king, you know, he's just the head of the wife. Even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is a savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, well, that needs to be taught. What is this local assembly? No, the body of Christ as a Christian. We need to submit ourselves unto Christ. Well, how do you do that? Well, you need to have his words. Do you have the words of Christ? Sure, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. No, those are the words of Jesus to the Jews. Now we're looking at the risen Savior to his bride. It's different. There's a marriage now. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, King James Bible, rightly divided, make sure that you're listening to Christ talk to you as his bride. Don't let somebody else pretend or talk like they're your husband. We are the bride, all of us men. We have to understand what it is to be the bride. As the church is subject unto Christ, it isn't just the ladies that have to learn from this. We as men, when it says for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, we need to understand how Christ is the head of the church. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Well, that's how we should be to Christ ourselves. So even though the husband is the head of the wife, we husbands have to realize that we also have somebody above us. As the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. So again, us husbands have to recognize that Christ loves us And we count on that love. Us men, we count on the love of Christ. We don't count him as a dictator, but we have to understand his love. Then we can pass on what we've learned and understood to our wives. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Are we willing to give ourselves? Christ was. We should be. You know, Christ weighs no chastisement. Grace, goodness, kindness, long-suffering, forbearance. That's the risen Savior to the Gentiles. To just the Gentiles? Yes, to the Gentiles. Now, if you take those Gentiles and they become followers of Jesus Christ by following Paul, then we have the Church of God, it's called. And God's grace, no chastisement, his goodness, kindness, long-suffering, and forbearance is available to them. What about those that are not part of the body of Christ? They're not part of the Church of God. They don't want to have anything to do with Christ. Well, Romans chapter 2, they receive the same treatment. No chastisement, the grace of God, the goodness of God, long-suffering, forbearance, his kindness. They just reject it. Well, when the time comes, the Christians, the Church of God, their works will be judged. And those that are not Christians, those that are not part of the Church of God, their works also will be judged, but they will be part of their works. They will be part of the sins. They will not have been separated, and they will have to burn with the works. Romans chapter 2. But until that day happens, God still has no chastisement. He has his grace of his goodness, his kindness, his long-suffering and forbearance. And folks, that's why you don't see God stepping in when our nation is doing what it's doing. That is why we're not seeing the wrath of God yet. You wonder why the wrath of God has not destroyed the cities. And everybody says, well, you know, all these things that are happening to America, that's the wrath of God. No, you need to read about the wrath of God. This is not the wrath of God yet. These things are happening because these things are happening. This world is falling apart. The sin that is rampant everywhere, we're starting to see the reapage of what this nation is doing in its design now. We're straying away, and as we stray away, we're seeing the results of it. But are we seeing God's wrath? Not at all. How can you say that? Because of rightly dividing a King James Bible. The rest of that Bible still tells us what's gone on in the past, what's going on today, and what's going to go on tomorrow. That's why the Bible has to be rightly divided. So as we continue here, we see husbands love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. So if Christ loved the church to do that, husbands, sanctify and cleanse your wife with the washing of water by the word. Our words are so important. But then wives, submit yourselves unto the words of your husbands. But then you have to be trusting that the husbands are getting their words from the words of Christ. So if your husband is not being led by a King James Bible rightly divided, you've probably got yourself a tyrant, a dictator, or just somebody who doesn't guide and lead, who has no word. You're just left to tread water by yourself there. Or if you got yourself one caught up in this modern church, you've got one that's got some really mixed up feelings, mixed up understanding about being a husband. It's a mess, isn't it? But it doesn't have to be. If the husbands would learn from Christ, and the wives will learn from the husbands as they learn from Christ, there's your process there. And he would present to himself, in verse 27, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Ladies, I'm sorry, but us husbands cannot get rid of your physical wrinkles or those spots that you're trying to cover up. Spiritually, yes, it can be done. That it should be holy and without blemish. That's what Christ did to this church, the body of Christ. That's how us husbands should be seeing our wives. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. So husbands, we should nourish and cherish our wives. And wives, you should be willing to be nourished and cherished by your husband based on Christ's design. What if that gets mixed up? What if there's a problem there? Well, we will deal with that at the next program. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones, husbands and wives. We become joined. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Husbands, men and men cannot be joined. Ladies and ladies cannot be joined. It's a perversion from the truth. It's a perversion from the design. So are we surprised that that's taken place today? No, not at all. Because it's based on a perverted teaching. Today's Christian church, today's modern Christianity, the local churches, are just as perverted as the perverted physical lifestyles going on in the world today. So everybody gets upset about this, all these new lifestyles, they call them. But they're ignoring the fact that their church, their local assembly, their pastors, the people, the design of today's modern Christianity is just as perverted as those lifestyles that people hate. Or if they like those modern lifestyles, they like this modern Christianity. That's how perverted things are. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. And like I've said, reading Paul's words of Christ, these mysteries are no longer mysteries. We can understand them, and we can learn to deal with them, and we can see what they are. So we can take this mystery concerning Christ and the church, and husband and wife. We can learn from that Christ and the church, and we can apply that to our families, to our marriages. And if things go awry, if things get mixed up, how do we deal with that? The same way Christ deals with that. And we'll talk about that on the Monday program. So there's your Sunday morning program, which starts off, and I still left a lot of things out here. This is just your basic words this morning. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 to 33. We have some more to talk about, much more to talk about. And I hope I can make it clear enough to help marriages, to start a marriage out properly, to help those that are remarried understand that it's probably okay. It's hard to say. Maybe that marriage is, maybe you're on your third marriage, your fourth marriage. What's going wrong here? What's the problem here? We can learn a lot from one book. Hopefully you'll be there again listening with your ears on and a pencil and notepad and your King James Bible. Your modern Bibles, they don't teach this.